Welcome to Health Naturally on 2NUR FM. Greg Richard, joined today by Dennis Stewart, as per usual. How are you doing, Dennis?
Look, Greg, I'm very well, and I'm very glad to see you dressed appropriately in your black T-shirt today with white print.
I thought I'd get into the spirit of just wearing a black T-shirt.
Well, that's a bit of a worry. Last week it was green, for this week it's black. Okay. But no, it's good to see you. Well, good to see you.
Next week I might get yellow. Who knows?
Oh, okay. Well, keep changing.
I think I'll put a yellow shirt today. I'll have to buy one between now and next Friday.
Let's see what you can do.
Right, Dennis, last week we wanted to talk about ginkgo. Was that right? Mm. But we didn't get time. I think we talked about it for a little bit at the end.
Look, we'll take it up again because I see that herb as being probably one of the most important herbs, particularly to deal with circulatory problems and particularly to do with a lot of other syndromes that particularly ageing brings with it. Mm. So today I just want to touch on that and get over to people more emphatically that this is a modern herb developed in modern times on a very ancient herb which has potential for addressing conditions, many of which are modern conditions. Mm. Right, so interesting topic.
It is.
Interesting topic.
I was looking forward to it last week, but now we can sink our teeth into it this week.
We'll do that.
Okay. Now, Dennis, we're looking at the ginkgo. I always forget the second part wrong.
Ginkgo biloba.
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 I was going to say Belenko, but that's...
Well, you're getting close.
Yeah.
Each time you attempt to pronounce it, you get closer.
I think that's a Jerry Rafferty song, Ginkgo Biloba.
He must have experienced the benefits of it.
Oh, possibly. Now, you mentioned the condition known as, was it claudication?
Yeah, claudication.
Claudication.
Okay. I'll elaborate on that a little bit before we move on. Intermittent claudication is a condition that I briefly touched on when we were talking about peripheral circulatory problems.
Yep.
And there's a condition where claudication means blockage of blood supply. I'll keep it simple. Blockage or hindering of blood supply, particularly to the feet and legs, where the muscles become under-perfused with blood. And as a result, people experience severe pain, particularly when they're walking. And the condition is known as intermittent claudication. Difficult to treat and a nasty condition which afflicts many people. Now, one of the conditions for which the ginkgo has demonstrated great benefit, and when I say great benefit here, I'm speaking not only from a study of the literature, but also as a result of prescribing it for this condition. Very early in my career, when I was practicing in Church Street, I saw people that were coming to see me, some of whom had claudication problems. I put them on the ginkgo in this fairly experimental stage of using the ginkgo. Mm-hmm. And over a number of months, they claimed that their walking distance was considerably improved. And they were able to demonstrate this by noting that the amount of times they had to stop and pause and recuperate walking from Newcastle Railway Station up to my rooms in Church Street, opposite the police station, the number of times they had to stop was considerably diminished, and they put this down to their chronic long-term use of ginkgo biloba. And I'm talking about patients that would have seen me over 6 to 9 months. So not only is intermittent claudication used as an indication for potential benefit of the ginkgo, and obviously a lot depends upon the seriousness of the condition. There would be some conditions that would not warrant or respond to the ginkgo, but certainly in the early stages of painful walking conditions associated with poor blood supply, a condition the doctor may have diagnosed as claudication, particularly in the elderly, where a surgical procedure may not be desirous, in my opinion, ginkgo lives up to its reputation, and I recommend that to people that listen to the program, that if there is a problem with walking, painful walking, and your doctor has diagnosed it as a claudication condition, contemplate a trial on using ginkgo biloba in a proper medical strength taken over a considerable period of time. It could work. Intermittent claudication, what are the indications for ginkgo? How does it work? The argument is that due to its effect on circulation, it promotes what's called collateral circulation, a development of blood supply collaterally to the damaged area. There's a bit of explanation there. I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a specialist, but I know a little bit about the ginkgo and being responsible, believe it or not, for giving the first lectures on it at Blackmore's in Balgala many years ago, participating in the development of the first ginkgo product in Australia, if only I'd held on to the rights to that. But I had a lot to do with it, and I use a lot of it. I use it myself, and I'll talk a little bit later about why I consider it being one of the most important remedies for teenagers such as myself to be using. I say that tongue-in-cheek. One of the most important supplements for people to consider.
All right, Dennis, I'll just cut you off there. We've also got Marie now from Toronto, and she's got a question about a supplement. Afternoon, Marie.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Marie.
I've got a question about a supplement called astaxanthin, and I was doing a little bit of reading about it, and I was unsure whether it was safe to take with omega-3 fish oil.
Okay. The supplement you're taking is, could you pronounce it?
It's astaxanthin. It's A-S-T-A-X.
Okay. Why did you purchase it?
I haven't purchased it. I was reading about it. Cool. I had an information.
Right. And what were the
read about it from a compounding chemist.
What were the claims made for it?
Like an anti-inflammatory, similar to turmeric.
Okay. Look, I don't know a lot about the substance. It's obviously a component or an extract of a herb or a fruit or whatever, and I'm not disputing what you may have read, but it's not something that I've had a lot to do with.
You need to be
a little bit cautious. It could be the best product in the world, but you need to be a little bit cautious even interpreting some of the literature that's out there. There are many claims being made today for natural products having anti-inflammatory characteristics. What you need to realise is most of them are useful for very mild levels of inflammation, and that's why I think the reputation of the two that I talk about frequently, the oldest vegetable anti-inflammatory known to mankind is the willow bark, which in a sophisticated form I have a great deal of confidence in, and the more modern preparations based on curcumin, which is an extract of turmeric. They're the ones that I prescribe regularly. On this substance, I don't know a lot. That's about the most I can say. Do you have an inflammatory condition?
Just broke out there, Marie. What was that?
I said, okay, thank you.
Okay, Marie. Thank you for ringing in. Okay, good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Thanks, Marie. We've got Jack from Warners Bay. And what can we do to help you with, Jack?
Oh, g'day, Dennis. How are you going?
I'm very well, Jack. How can I help you?
I'm interested in what sort of supplements a sporty type person. I'm in the mid-60s and I still do fun runs. I do marathons. I do triathlons. And I'm very active, and everyone around our age starts to talk about glucosamine, fish oil, krill oil, turmeric as supplements when they're starting to get a little bit stiff and sore. I do take fish oil, but generally I'm extremely healthy and active, and recently competed in a sporting event up in Townsville.
Well, the first thing I would say is that you don't need to paint yourself into a corner and think you need to be taking a lot of supplements to address a condition that may not be manifesting itself at any serious level. It may be that your joints are just experiencing a little bit of wear and tear associated with what you're doing. From that perspective, I think there's some support for using glucosamine-based products, and that's why I developed my Glucosaplex years ago for that potential benefit of wear and tear conditions which in my opinion can be resisted up to a point by using glucosamine and chondroitin-based products. Outside of that, I don't think taking a lot of anti-inflammatories like turmeric or curcumin is relative to you, because you're not really symptomatic. And fish oils, good as they are, my reading of them suggests that their benefits on inflammatory disease are pretty well restricted to rheumatoid arthritis type conditions, not so much to wear and tear conditions. Not that I'm opposed to fish oil, I'm a bit of a fan of them in some ways, but I tend to think they're overrated. And unless there's a genuine diagnosis of arthritic symptomatology, I'm not convinced that using it would have any significant impact on your otherwise healthy joints. I think you'd be better off working with the glucosamine and chondroitin, going on to that perhaps preventatively, not in high dose, keeping in mind that if you use those preparations, you're looking at about 2 to 3 months before you begin to notice some improvement in your, particularly in your knees and hip joints. I take it, and that's what I've noticed, and that's what's in the literature. I would say restrict it to that. As far as a supplement, if you are a sporty individual, again, I don't think you need to be filling yourself up with supplements. You need to be looking at what supplement or what herb may benefit my particular need. Let me come back to the point, Jack, and you would have heard me say it before. I believe people take too many things. And I see that every day when people come into my rooms at New Lambton with basically a sugar bag full of supplements, many of which conflict with the medication they might be taking, and many of them overlapping. So I say that to listeners, taking more and more supplements is not the way to more and more health. In your case, what I would be suggesting is that if you are looking for something that has a fairly demonstrable performance-enhancing reputation, get onto a good product of Panax ginseng. Ginseng is the major herb used by Asian athletes. Whether it be Panax ginseng or Siberian ginseng, the Russians use a lot of Siberian ginseng, the Chinese, the Koreans, they use and have used for centuries the Panax ginseng as opposed to Siberian ginseng. If I were you, I'd look at taking those two supplements, which in my opinion would relate more specifically to your particular need. I don't think I'd be working outside of that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack.
Out there, everyone is just saying, take this, take that.
And yeah, I know. This is the problem. There's a big market for supplements. It's one of the biggest industries in the world outside of pharmacy and other things. And it's expanded exponentially. And that's why I very, very radically say at times, many, many of these things that are out there that people are buying, in my opinion, are useless because they're related to the market, the promotion that the industry undertakes. When I started, this is one of my favourite topics, Jack, and I won't say about too much longer, but when I started over 50 years ago, the industry, in my opinion, was in its innocence. There was a freshness and a genuineness about the industry because it was generally owned by believers. The health food store proprietor was committed. It's not, I'm saying that they're not, but there are few of them left these days because they've been absorbed by bigger institutions. Over the years, the genuine benefits associated with the sensible, selective, professional and dedicated prescribing of things has, in my opinion, morphed into a marketing scenario which doesn't do a great deal of benefit, in my opinion, to most people who can well afford the accelerating price associated with many supplements. The two that I've mentioned to you are related to genuine needs that can be genuinely met by those sorts of supplements in your health food store, your pharmacy, or in naturopathic practices.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I hope someone else out there will get a benefit from that as well.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Margaret from Cessnock, she's been diagnosed with osteoporosis and she's looking for a natural supplement. Margaret.
Hello.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello, Dennis. How are you?
I'm very well. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've been diagnosed with osteoporosis in June. I've had a scan.
Yes.
And I went to the doctor, and the doctor was going to say, you know, there is a needle that you can have every 6 months or is it three months? I'm not sure.
Yes.
And then a tablet to take if you want to do that. I've done nothing about that because I've been listening to your program. I just want to know whether I can take something that is a natural thing.
Margaret, if you don't mind me asking, are you aged or...
I'm 72.
Okay. Are you on much other medication?
I'm only on a statin.
Okay. Look, in my opinion... and this is an opinion here, the the conventional treatment for osteoporosis, I think is okay.
Okay.
Now, there will be many out there that will raise their eyebrows and say, oh, we've heard this, that it's it can be the jaw problems and mouth problems. Look, I've been practicing for many years and I see many patients who are elderly, many of whom are using the therapy that our good doctors prescribe for this condition. I have never seen any significant adversity. And my wife is old, as I'm old, or a bit older than you, and if it were necessary for her to have that therapy, I would have no objection because loading up with more calcium is not the solution. That's not the solution. Bone strengthening exercises is part and parcel of a good program.
Yes.
Could I ask how serious your osteoporosis was?
Well, it is there. I don't know to like unless you looked at the scan the scan itself.
Okay.
It has my hip. Sometimes I have pain in my hip.
Okay.
I've got two dogs. I walk every day.
Yes.
I do exercises as well.
Yes.
So, and I also take an Ostalin calcium DK tablet.
Yes, and that's good. That's good.
That's what I'm taking.
Yes.
I'm taking turmeric as well.
Now, turmeric is a useful herb. If you are using it as a means of easing some of the discomfort associated with your joints... It's better to take the concentrate of turmeric called curcumin. Let me just explain that if you are looking for a genuine mild anti-inflammatory benefit from turmeric, you have to take a lot of the actual herb.
Right.
That's why using curcumin is a more efficient way of getting the benefit. Curcumin is the anti-inflammatory component of turmeric, and you don't need, therefore, to take the very, very large amount of the crude herb that you'd have to take to get a benefit. I'm a fan of curcumin. I prescribe it myself from my rooms in Cumberland Street at Bowen's Practice. I believe in it. For mild inflammatory conditions, it's, in my opinion, good. It's not something that will handle of serious, painful conditions, but your use of it is wise. But what I would suggest is, if you are noticing some hip joint distress, even at a low level, take my hint and start to append to your supplement routine glucosamine and chondroitin-based products. And if you can get from the Cumberland Practice Glucosaplex, that will, in my opinion, even at low dose, in conjunction with the curcumin that you're taking, give you a bit of confidence that at least your joint there is functioning better, that the inflammatory process is being better managed. But in having said that, I would still encourage you to abide by what your good doctor has suggested, because in this case, I would go along with it. I'm not a fan of everything the mainstream does, just as they're not a fan of much of what I do. But one has to be fair and give credit where credit is due. And as I say, if my wife had to use anything, I would have no problems with that.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
And I can actually get that Cosaplex from where I live at Cessnock. Yeah. I can actually
Cumberland
go in there and
Street.
Ask them.
Yeah, look, that's correct.
Okay, no problem. Yep. Thank you, Dennis,
it's a pleasure.
Much.
Pleasure, Margaret.
Thank you.
Right. We've got Val now from Aberglaston. She's looking for the benefits of olive tree extract.
Hello, Val.
Hello, Dennis. How are you?
I'm well indeed. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. I currently take olive leaf extract in the tablet form from Comvita.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering what are the long-term benefits of that? Like I've been taking it and been told it's good for a little bit of arthritis and some joint pain and also good for blood pressure.
Okay. With olive leaf, again, I think it's an example of where overstatements have been made about the product. Olive leaf does have some therapeutic potential. For instance, in the text that I frequently mention on this program by Dr. Rudolf Weiss, his German book entitled Herbal Medicine, where he's looking at plant-based blood pressure medications, he talks about olive leaf as having potential, but at a very, very minor level, at a very minor level. If you have any serious levels of blood pressure, don't depend on olive leaf.
Yep.
Don't depend on olive leaf. Olive leaf is also promoted as being a useful immunosupportive agent. Yep. I don't find a lot of evidence of that in the German literature on olive leaf. It's something that's emerged in the last X number of years. I don't prescribe it a lot as an immune-enhancing agent. I much prefer to use the American herb Echinacea with a much, much stronger reputation, in my opinion, in Western herbalism, or to use astragalus-based products from the history of Chinese medicine. So on olive leaf, very, very mild benefit in blood pressure, which in my opinion doesn't warrant its use, even though there's an active principle in it known as oleorupin, which does have some benefit, as I've said, but very, very minor. If you've got blood pressure, talk to your doctor and make sure it's being well controlled. For other conditions, I'm not sure that it would have that much benefit.
Okay, well, that might save me a few dollars then, mightn't it?
And again, I don't want everything I say to be seen as gospel. All I'm saying is, from my reading and understanding, and I've read a lot about the herb and its chemistry and its use in European natural medicine, particularly in defined by Weiss, that's the way I see it. But there could be other literature out there that supports it more vigorously, but it's not something that I have a lot to do with.
Okay, thanks for that, Dennis.
Thanks, Val.
The other question was in relation to, I have a condition called myopic MD, which is macular degeneration, and I'm obviously under a specialist for that. But I've been taking for many, many years now the MacuVision and the MacuVision Plus.
Yes.
So I'm just going to ask the question, are there any other supplements that would help assist with an eye condition?
Okay. Look, those two preparations you've mentioned I have great regard for. And this is supports what I've been saying earlier. Here's a supplement which is designed to cope with a genuine problem. It's not just something that's flogged for a sale purpose. It's a product that has been developed by a good company without mentioning their name, and I know them very well. Mm-hmm. I've consulted for them for many, many years. They're good products and they've got a lot of good substance in them that will sustain the argument that they have some supportive benefit for degenerative ocular conditions. However, I'm also a very strong proponent, based on the literature of two American medical naturopaths, Pizzorno and Murray, who in their talk about macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy speak about the specificity of the bilberry, and also of the use of ginkgo biloba. If you're able to Google that, and you should be able to, Pizzorno and Murray, Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine, read their section or Google up their section on macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy, and you will find that they are the two remedies that are very confidently recommended, and I have recommended those remedies for years, and I'm pretty convinced that they've contributed to helping a condition. How far and how far they go, that's debatable, but as far as looking at supportive herbs for degenerative ocular conditions, I see those two as being useful to reinforce the other ones that you were talking about.
Okay, and sorry, what was the name of the two gentlemen that you said?
Pizzorno, Joe Pizzorno, P-I-Z-Z-O-R-N-O, Pizzorno, and Michael Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y. Now, their literature is readily available. If you have difficulty, contact my rooms and I'll happily send a copy of the pages out to you, but you should be able to Google it, and let me just say, their literature has sustained my lecturing for probably 30, 35 years through the various editions of their textbook, which in naturopathic medicine, both here and in the United States, is pretty well a standard text.
Okay, that is excellent. Mm. Appreciate that feedback there. So
yes.
Gives me some reading. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Val. Yeah.
Time for a couple more calls. We've got Jason from Maitland, and he's got a question about a skin condition. Jason.
Yeah, hi guys. So my 19-year-old son has got very bad skin. I believe it's psoriasis. He's in good health otherwise. His skin's terrible. We do apply some aqueous cream, and that seems to help sort of hide it somewhat. And he has just started some light therapy.
Yes.
Skin specialist.
Yes.
I was just wondering whether dentists recommend any supplements that may actually help that.
Jason, psoriasis, as your good doctor and specialist would have told you, is a difficult condition to treat. Anyone that thinks otherwise, I would argue with them strongly on that. The therapy that your son is undergoing now, I have feedback from many patients over the years to say that it's helped them, sometimes only temporarily, but it's helped them. From the point of view of managing the condition with natural medication, the emphasis or the recommendations are centred around a bracket of herbs that are referred to in what's known as the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia. That is a document, a reasonably modern document put together in the UK by doctors, pharmacologists, medical herbalists. The herbs in that that are recommended, and these would be herbs that would be considered necessary to be taken in optimum dosage for quite some time. The major one, interestingly, is a herb called sarsaparilla. Now, people think of sarsaparilla as a drink, okay. Drinks can be based on the herb sarsaparilla. Sarsaparilla was a West Indian herb, which is now universally used in Western herbalism. It is mentioned very confidently in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia as a remedy for psoriasis and other chronic, dry, scaly skin conditions. If your son is not using that, it might be worthwhile contemplating using it. If you were to go on it, he would have to go on to a liquid extract of full strength and take it in the optimum dose called up in the pharmacopoeia, which I think is around 4 to 5 mils three times daily. That is one of the herbs that is recommended. Other herbs are frequently prescribed with it, but I would, if I were he and having Puva therapy, I'd conclude that, go on to the sarsaparilla to start with if he's not had any benefit, or if he gets benefit and wants to perhaps continue the benefit of the treatment, sarsaparilla is a good starting point. Also in this case, the use of oils orally is useful. The use of either primrose oil and the use of fish oil is a useful supplement. But again, if you take those supplements, you must take them in optimum dosages. This is where most use of either of those oils in inflammatory skin conditions is underappreciated. They're prescribed in too little a dose. If he goes on to those, perhaps the fish oil to start with, it'd have to be working around about 6 grams three times daily in order to get any serious potential impact. There are a couple of things that he can do in order to break the back of this, or try to break the back of it. Plus, you should also think of using some topical applications based on pine tar and what's called glycyrrhetinic acid, which is the basic active principle of licorice.
Okay. Yeah, we have tried those tar-based creams previously.
Yes.
They do provide, I think, short-term relief.
Of course, and that's mostly what creams will do, but in order to give some relief, I've found I had a cream made up from an Oltex based on pine tar and a couple of other things, and it did remarkable things and still does. But the downside to it, of course, that frequently the benefit is temporary, and pine tar products aren't the sweetest things to smell.
Is the sarsaparilla readily available?
Yeah, look, a compounding pharmacist or a naturopath. I've mentioned Cumberland Street in Cessnock, but you may have a naturopath in around where you are that stocks concentrated liquid extracts. But make sure it's prescribed in the dose. If you're unsure about the dose, you can ring my rooms and they will tell you. But I'm pretty sure it's around about 4 to 5 mils 3 times daily.
Yep, great. All right, thanks, Dennis. We'll give that a crack.
Well, give it a go. It's a nasty, troublesome condition. I relate to the chap. I had eczema very chronically as a young man, and herbs helped me break the back of that. So let's hope this helps your son.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers, Jason. We've got Angela from Spears Point. She's looking for natural recommendations for liver hema. I'm not going to be able to pronounce that, Dennis.
Mangioma.
Okay.
Hello, Angela.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Thanks for taking my call. I've been diagnosed with 7 liver hemangiomas.
Yes.
And I'm 64.
Yes.
And I've been told they're harmless, not to worry about them.
Yes.
But obviously, because I have 7, I'm a little bit concerned.
Okay. Look, your medical advisors are correct there. If there were any problems associated with that condition, which would be very, very unlikely, because I know a little bit about it, if there were a problem with your liver, it would show up on your liver function. And there's been, obviously, your doctor's not picked up anything from a blood test relative to your liver function that would indicate any problem. And if I were you, knowing this condition, if you like, just I'm being a bit crude here and a bit simplistic, just see it as a blood blister, if you like, on the liver. And listen to what your good doctor has told you. Get on with your life. It's most unlikely to have any consequences.
Oh, that's really good news. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, Dennis, we've got time for quickly one more call. We've got Jenny from Curry Curry, and she's got diabetes, and she's looking for natural products versus metformin.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well indeed. Are you taking metformin?
I am taking metformin 1000, and I'm taking Ozempic, and my levels have come down, and they're stabilised stuff, but I want to get off one of them.
Well, look, metformin is good medication. It's, in fact, based on a herb. The herb is known as Galega or goat's rue. Metformin is based on one or so constituents derived from that herb. I have no problem with metformin whatsoever as a medication because it's so close to natural that, in my opinion, it is natural, and some naturopaths in the US are in fact seeing it as a natural medication. Be cautious with what you do. Diabetes is diabetes. It's not to be fiddled with. If I were you, if you're stable, I would do what you're doing. Remain stable. Your doctor's got you to that point. Be cautious about fiddling with it. You can create problems.
Okay, not a problem. It's just that I saw on a television program or something, Professor Jonathan Shaw or something was promoting, get off metformin and this is a natural thing, you know, that I...
Yeah, well, look,
if it was marketing or whether it was, you know, I'm not sure.
Metformin, I can assure you, is based on an analogue from the herb Galega, which is commonly known as goat's rue. I would disagree with whoever made that statement and would support the medical use of metformin as a starting base for type 2 diabetes.
Dennis Stewart, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there for another
week. Oh, what a pity, Greg. We've just got to start here, mate.
Just got to start.
We better keep going.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.